You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
What it do? It's the Preachers and Sneakers podcast. We're back at it again with content that nobody asked for. Today, I got to talk to my buddy Jaron Myers. Jaron is a full-time comedian, all-around funny guy, but also had some really interesting insights into the Preachers and Sneakers conversation and also cracked some amazing jokes. So I hope you enjoy my conversation with Jaron Myers. Big shouts out to the homie Words Played for the intro music. If you haven't checked them out on all the music platforms, look him up, Words Played, one word, and also follow him on Instagram at Words Played. He was super generous to let me use his music, so check him out, give him a follow. Okay, here's my conversation with Jaron Myers. Jaron Myers, with me on the Preachers and Sneakers podcast. You're a comedian full-time in can we say in the Christian church niche? How do you like to categorize yourself as a comedian?
So I do the whole Switchfoot thing where I'm like, you know, where I'm like, yeah, I'm a comedian and I'm also a Christian.
Right.
You
know? I'm not a Christian comedian.
No, I'm intentionally not, honestly. So like, I really do try to avoid a lot of like churchy topics. Like, I don't have a bunch of homeschool jokes or VeggieTales jokes or like, oh, this is in the baptistry jokes, you know, like that. There is a spot for those comics. I think that Tim Hawkins is one of my favorite, and he's very talented, and he's like really figured out that niche. And
he's the dude that did stuff Christians like.
Yeah. Stuff that like he did like the hand raise motions of like, you know, the touchdown Rocky.
Right. Thing. And then everyone copied him.
Right. Yeah. For sure. Pastors use his jokes all the time.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. Yeah. And there is a place for that, for sure. I just don't think it's my place. And so what my hope is that my show is a place that is, you know, I'm trying to make my brother laugh who just graduated high school and also my grandma laugh who is 80-something. That sounds terrible. Like she's 84. Like, I know how old she is.
That's good.
Like, it sounded like I didn't know how old my grandma was.
So
my goal is to make a show that is accessible, not just to the believer, because I think that with Christian comedy, a lot of churches want to do a comedy night as a like outreach event. Mm-hmm. And so they'll bring in a comedian. But if I'm doing just Christian jokes, if I'm doing inside lingo, then that friend that you invited, that opportunity that we just had to like, hey, there's a comedian coming to my church. It's not the, you know, we're not going to do the worship team and the normal speaker like always. Like, this is a different kind of thing. Would you please come with me? Mm-hmm. You know, you bring a non-Christian friend to that event and then the comedian on stage starts telling VeggieTales jokes and inside lingo, then that person feels even more like an outsider.
Yeah.
And so my hope is that I can create opportunities that it's like, hey, we can start a conversation. And then when I leave, you can continue that conversation. So
interesting.
I say all that. I'm very intentional about that language for sure.
That's got to take extra effort because one, you've got to think up things that are funny, but then also cater them to a whole spectrum of people. What does your workflow look like for that? I mean, it's hard enough just to be a comedian.
I mean, I think that. First of all, I hope it doesn't sound arrogant to say that, but I think I'm creative enough for that.
Okay.
and I enjoy the you know, it's not super challenging to stay clean because like I don't cuss in my normal life. Like I,
right.
you know, I don't do drugs. I don't do this stuff. And so, so that's just not part of my life. So I don't have like, first of all, I don't have those experiences to draw from, you know, but also it's just kind of like, that's not my sense of humor. Cause I don't know that culture. So the culture that I do know is Midwest white people. and dude, I crush it with the college girls. That's my, like, that's my dude. I did a show in Tulsa, not to be like, oh, girls are after me. That's not what I meant at all. I just realized how that sounded.
Hey,
I just mean like, dude, like the majority of my followers, like probably 75% are females, because that's just who I relate to apparently. Like that's like I post stuff and they're like, oh, that's relatable. Like I did a show in Tulsa and there was literally one guy there. The room was full, but one other male.
Humble
person.
Brag.
No,
crushing the game, Jaron Myers.
No.
You missed your calling,
please,
bro.
Please don't do that. Please do not. Oh my gosh, that is not at all. People can't see me right now, but I'm sweating.
He is visibly
uncomfortable.
You're killing it with the ladies, man.
No. Oh, my gosh. Let's shut this interview down. No, I just meant like the culture that I know is like, dude, I shop at Old Navy. I hit up Target like once a week. And like I'm just in – I'm a white girl stuck in this – 6'3" sweaty body, you know.
my ethical fashion followers are going to come after you for shopping at Old Navy.
Dude, I don't care. Bro, have you seen their summer deals? You think I care?
You get like 92 shirts for 8 cents.
For real, dude. People are like, oh, you shop at, yeah, I do shop at Old Navy. Get me a gift card for Christmas.
I'm out here trying to pay these bills, my man.
Dude, it's not even that. Like, literally, if someone gave me $1 million next year, I would spend a good portion of that at Old Navy. Like, I would still, like, I wouldn't. Yeah, this is not who I am.
I bet you I'm could like, buy an Old Navy for $1 million.
Dude, first of all, how about you quit with this talking crap about Old Navy? They're worth way more than $1 million. But, like, these $40 pants are going to last me 2 years. So, I don't, people can say what they want, is what I'm saying.
That's pretty strong. Yeah. So, how long have you been doing this? The whole full-time comedy thing? Because this is like thinking back, like this is a terrifying career to me. Like the idea of being like Kevin Hart level and crushing it sounds really awesome. But to get there, you have to put yourself in the most terrifying position to like 90% of the country. Get up there in a completely quiet room and make a room of strangers laugh. Like, how'd you get into that? And then how did you find a niche where you were successful? Or maybe you already said that, but how did you find that you could be successful?
No, you know, I think that it's something that I started in 2014. So that is 5.5 years ago now. And I had flunked out of college, which I went to a Christian college. So you don't really flunk out of Christian college. Mm-hmm. They just kind of sit you down and they go,
so you like, think hey, your strengths you would be better elsewhere.
No, they say you should take a semester and see what God has for you.
Oh,
that's
there it
like
is.
The words. And you go, you're like, oh, cool. Yeah, it kind of is. It's kind of, it's not, you know, like God told us to like get you out of our school.
immediately.
So, like we prayed about it and this is, your GPA is not good. So I flunked out of college. I was working at Subway and.
So you're an artisan. Sandwich.
Dude, I'm a sandwich artist certified, man. And so I was doing that and I had written like these funny songs before. And so like my friends just told their churches like, hey, Jaron, you know, as a worship leader, he'll come do, you know, worship at your church. Or he also wrote these funny songs he did for a talent show at our college. And so this church called me, you know, like a month after I'd flunked out of college. And they said, hey, we have a Valentine's banquet coming up. Would you come do their funny songs? And I was like, sure, I guess. And so, I drove up to Kansas City and they got me a hotel room. They took me out to dinner. And I performed for like 100 people. I just did my songs. I had 4 songs, you know?
how did you feel at the time? Like, was that a natural?
I didn't. I mean, it was like, I had like a 20 minute, like four songs. And so I just went up and just was like, I have a song called I Found My Girl on Craigslist. another one about how my girlfriend's a Sasquatch. It's called The One That Got Away. And so, it was just like silly, kind of cheesy, dumb stuff that I was just messing around and I did it. And those people enjoyed it. You know, they were eating dinner. They didn't care. It was just entertainment for
right.
them. And, a few weeks later, a youth pastor called me and was like, hey, my buddy in Kansas City said you just did his Valentine's banquet. Would you come do those songs for our youth group for like this lock-in we're having? And I was like, sure.
For those that are listening that don't know what a lock-in is, it's basically youth speak for staying up all night in a gymnasium, drinking Dr. Pepper, playing Foursquare, and Settlers of Catan or whatever the kids play now. And were part of the act of that.
Mine is more we sat in a circle and prayed together and read our Bibles. And
oh, wow.
No, we didn't do that. That's insane. That's insane. No.
Mildly insane.
Yeah. It was a 12-hour fasting and prayer overnight, you know? no, the lock-in was definitely like... That was questionable decisions.
Yeah, it was. That's very interesting how that was a whole cultural thing. Like, hey, show up and your kids will play Halo for 12 straight hours and drink nothing but caffeine and candy.
Yeah, and parents were like, good.
Good. No wow. Like, three night out.
Dropped them off. Yeah, it was interesting. So, so I started doing youth groups and they just kept kind of telling other people. And then I made a website and like kind of committed to it a little bit. And then the fall came and it was time to enroll in classes again and go back, cause my semester off was over and I was looking at my calendar and it was like, man, I have to make a decision. Like I either got to go back to school or I got to keep doing these shows, and I was making $50 a show, I was not paying my bills. But I was also living with my parents for a little bit. And then I moved into an apartment that I shared with like four other guys. So rent was like $200 a month.
Amazing.
Oh, dude, yeah, that early 20 life is great. You just share a room with somebody.
and it's fine.
Yeah. Like, you're always like, whatever, who cares?
Everything's dirty all the time, and you just live in that constant state of filth.
Yeah, dude, you're doing that sniff test where you see a shirt on the floor, and you pick it up, and you smell it, and you're like, yeah, this is fine. Like, I know I wore this 3 days ago, but it doesn't smell yet, so that's fine. I can't believe I was single at that time. And so, not sure why. I didn't have a lot of responsibility as far as like financial stuff and, so I was able to take a few more risks and then I just bought a van, like this sketchy Econoline van and like committed to it. Like hardcore was like,
wow,
I'm gonna make this a thing. It suddenly was like, there was a few events where I did a homeless church in Texas one time. And afterward, a woman came up to me and she said, hey, I haven't laughed in probably a month and I really need it tonight.
Dang.
And I was like, oh, this is it. I was like, this is all I want to do forever. This is it.
Wow.
So I had a few moments like that where it just kind of became like, this seems like what I'm designed to do. So I put on the website that I'll come to your church, I'll do whatever. And I was emailing churches out of nowhere and being like, hey, I'm Jaren and you don't know me, but I would love to come talk to your students. And, I drove out to Pueblo, Colorado one time.
From Kansas City?
I was living down in Springfield, Missouri at the time. That's it's a 12-hour drive. And drove all the way out to Pueblo, Colorado and performed for 6 students.
Oh my gosh.
So I drove all the way out there, and I got paid in burritos.
Oh, my God.
And then I slept on the youth pastor's couch that night. Him and his wife had a newborn kid. And, that was the life for a few years.
You just thought you were going to be paying, like, hey, I'm paying my dues. I'm going to take this gig because I'll take any gig
possible. No, dude. I was literally like, dude, I'm saying yes to opportunity. Like, it was never like a... I'm going to get rich and be famous one day. That's never been my goal. Even now, it's not my goal, Mm-hmm. My thing has just been like, I'm saying yes to opportunities. Like, this is fun. Let's keep doing this,
Yeah.
And most of my friends were still in college, So I didn't really need to make life decisions yet. And so I was kind of doing the thing where I was like, I'm 20 years old. I have no responsibilities. If this all fails, I can still move into my parents' basement. This is fun. This is what God's called me to do. So I'm going to keep doing it. And, you know, that first year, my highest paying gig was like $200. And I thought I hit the jackpot. I was like, this is great, you know? And so now it's progressed. It progressed fairly quickly. But there was, you know, a solid 3.5 years of me doing this.
Booking yourself, traveling yourself.
Yeah. And then something finally hit with the Chick-fil-A wrap. And so... So that Chick-fil-A wrap we dropped in November of 2017. So that's 2017. I started the beginning of 2014. So this is almost 4 years into what I'm doing. And I had been full time at the end of 2016 is when I really became full time comedy.
Do you still have the van?
Dude, I wish I had to. It was starting to make weird noises and I had to sell it.
What did it cost to fill that up?
Oh, it was like $75 to fill up the tank. And so it was a thing, dude. But the thing was like it was a tank, man. There was no like I hit a wild boar one time in that thing.
Oh my
God. on road in Texas. And it didn't dent it at all. No damage. So I was really blessed because I got to be friends with a lot of other Christian comedians, people who had been doing it longer and had more insight. And so I learned from some of the best people and became close with and kind of came up with some other people. And that Chick-fil-A rap happened and it kind of put me on the map for a bunch of people. And then I think, honestly, social media is one of my strengths. Like I'm pretty good at it. So I think I capitalized on that pretty well, and have just steadily grown my audience ever since. And
that's awesome. I don't know why. It just cut out. Sorry. I didn't mean to leave you in awkward silence. I think there's something with my internet. So tell me more about the Chick-fil-A rap, because that's when I started following you. I'd never heard of you before then. And then I saw this random Facebook video pop up, literally exuding everything I thought about Chick-fil-A, and which maybe I'll get in trouble for saying that because I have a very mixed audience that follows my account.
Oh, that's right.
But yeah, tell me more about what inspired the Chick-fil-A video and maybe some of the response to that, because that clearly you had a viral moment there, and then how you handled all that.
Yeah. So beginning of that year, 2017, we had just kind of started getting into online content. I say we because like me and my friends make all this stuff.
Yeah.
And so like it's never just like me doing it on my own. It's been really fun to collaborate with my friends.
It's nice to have a squad.
Yeah, dude, it's really fun because like the same video guy that made the Chick-fil-A rap is the same video guy I use for all of my stuff. So we're riding this wave.
He did a great job.
Dude, he's so talented. Zachariah Mayfield. If you are listening to this, go check out his YouTube. He does like tutorials on how to make good videos and stuff.
What's his handle there? Do you know?
Zachariah Mayfield.
Okay. Well, that's going to be a pain to spell.
I'll text it to you.
You got four H's in there? Zachariah.
Zachariah. Zachariah. So, dude, we thought of that concept in March of 2017, and then I just worked it all year. And I'm like the whitest of white people. Obviously we already talked about Old Navy. So like the rap that I wrote was really not great. Then I have a friend who's like a legit rapper. His name is Jonathan Joseph. You should also look up his stuff. But I texted him. I was like, hey man, can you help me with this? And then I went over to his house and in his like at home studio, which is just a spare bedroom in his house, He sat there and we made that beat, and then I gave him the lyrics and he was like, these are bad. And I was like, thanks.
homie for life.
He was like, you know, this isn't like, he goes, the phrasing is rough. He goes, but I can use these lines. Like if we cut out this word and then you say this word like this, it works. And so he helped me take my lyrics and make them fit that beat. And then we ended up with a really great song. And so then I called the fire department in my hometown. And this was the part where I was just like, how ridiculous can we make this? Like,
I watched the video last night again. because I knew we were going to talk today. And I didn't notice that the first time. I was like, this dude has got, well, I'll let you tell it.
Yeah, dude, I called, like, so, I mean, I grew up in a town of 5,000 people, and I went to high school with the fire marshal's son, which the fire marshal is also the county sheriff, and, you know, and it's like one of those small.
That sounds about right, yeah.
And and I've had his cell phone number for years kind of thing, you know? So I just texted him and was like, hey, dude, I don't think it's legal for us to set a car on fire. And he was like, yeah, please don't do that. And I was like, can you set a car on fire for us? And he was like, yeah, let's do that.
So, we like, literally dude, have nothing else going on.
You know, that's the thing about firefighters, though, is that they are firefighters because they love fire.
Because like, they're pyros? Like,
kind of, yeah, for real, dude. So I was expecting, you know, we'd show up and there'd be a few guys there. Like, they had like 30 firemen out there. And there's actually a behind the scenes video on Zach's YouTube channel that you can go watch. But yeah, we had like a group of 30 of us. Like that car, I just put on Facebook for my friends, like not on my page, like on my personal page. Mm-hmm. I just posted and was like, hey, you know, we're doing this project. I need a car. Is there anybody who's be willing to sell theirs for super cheap? And a friend from high school messaged and was like, yeah, dude, we lost the keys to this a few years ago. And it's just in my backyard. Like if you can tow it, you can have it.
Wow.
And I was like, dope.
Jackpot.
So, yeah, dude. So we like went out there, we towed this car out to where the fire station is. And then when I got there, dude, the fire marshal, like I just expected us to set the car on fire and like have the thing. But then he was like, hey, do you want to like loop one of my trucks behind it so you can have a truck in the shot? And I was like, yeah, sure. If, like, if you want to do that, absolutely, let's do that. And so, yeah, so then his truck drove down to the end of the road, and then they're all on walkie-talkies, and Zach yells action, and then the truck comes up, sirens blaring, and they just drove right. And we did that like 5 or 6 times, you know, like me and that's my brother that I'm carrying in the video.
Oh, okay.
And so we're standing there and dude, it is hot to stand next to that car.
Yeah.
Dude, like my, like I had like, you know, like in my right arm looked like I had a sunburn the next day. Cause like it burned my skin.
Jeez.
And so like, we're just standing there so close to it. And he's like wincing. My brother is like, he's like sitting here. He's like, can we go yet? Can we go yet? Can we go yet?
And this is for no money the entire time.
No money, dude. We're not making anything from it. And that's the other thing is that I think people equate like millions of views with millions of dollars. And it's like, dude, we're just some idiots that had a camera and some good connections. And like,
yeah.
So we made this video. And also my goal was just 1 million views. Mm-hmm. Like I wanted to hit 1 million and I was like, I think we've done it. Like this video is great. I think we're going to hit 1 million. And like today when we're recording this podcast, we were over 65 million views on that video,
woo!
Which is insane, dude. That like blows my mind.
Yeah. That's on YouTube or is that on Facebook or is that across all platforms?
So yeah, there's that's adding up the views of YouTube, Facebook, but there's also like several other accounts, like an account called Hood Trap. But like there's
that's your demographic for sure.
Dude, yeah, man. I was like, that's the one I went most viral on because theirs has like 45 million views on it on Facebook.
Dang.
Yeah. So like their page was the one that kind of really helped me launch it, you know?
Were you able to capitalize on the subscriber piece within YouTube, or was that not on the top of your mind? Because that's like the only way you can make freaking money from having a video go viral like that.
Right, which on YouTube I have like the least amount of views, which is pretty great. So I didn't capitalize on YouTube. YouTube wasn't a big thing on my radar in then. So basically, my social media strategy has been focus on one platform at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And my platform for Facebook that year, or for 2017 was Facebook. Yeah, so like the video going on Facebook was a huge win for me because at the beginning of the year I had like, you know, 1,500 likes on my page or something, and I ended the year with 36,000. So I did capitalize there, and now we're at 78,000 on my Facebook page. That was something I like. So then my focus for last year was Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
And my goal was to get over 10,000 on Instagram, and I started the year at like 2,500 and I ended the year at, I think it was 15,000.
Nice. And that's a pure organic.
Yeah, dude. So I did this thing where I had a feud with Arby's. Were you following me for that when I did the whole I hate Arby's thing?
I don't think so. Or maybe I wasn't paying attention.
So it was after the Chick-fil-A wrap, but I did this whole thing where I was like, dude, I hate Arby's. I was like, I don't understand how they're still in business. It's awful. And then one day I just tweeted. I said, when I get to 10,000 followers on Instagram, I'll eat Arby's. And my Instagram followers were like, oh, yeah, we're going to freaking get this guy. And so they just started, like, they literally, like, every day people were putting on their stories. People were sharing my posts, being like, go follow this guy. He's going to have to eat Arby's. And, dude, they pushed me over 10,000. And so it was
such awful. A minimum consequence or such a minimum
no, for
return.
Real, dude. For... And I had to eat some roast beef sandwiches.
What was the verdict?
So. It's bad. It's not good.
It's still bad. It's still fake. It's still wheezy cheese on a roast beef sandwich.
Yeah, dude. It's like that nacho cheese they gave you at your high school football stadium.
That comes in the pump.
Yeah, dude. Oh, the pump, dude. Like, why does anybody do that and they go, that's what I want in my mouth
that
right
is like,
now.
That's like the sweet tarts of savory
oh my
food.
Gosh.
It's like not yeah. food at all. It's like completely nope. fake in every way, shape, and form.
Yeah, absolutely, dude. So anyway, so that's how I had some social media strategies, but whatever.
Yeah, for sure. Well, we digress. All right, well, let's
I didn't have any kind of growth that you've had.
No.
Because how many followers are you at right now?
I think I have 182,000 or something.
Yeah, that's insane.
And I had zero at the beginning of March.
Yeah, I'll buy your account.
You'd be surprised how many people offer and they lowball the
dude. Yes,
yeah, out of me.
Yeah, dude. They're not gonna offer.
They're
you
like,
real
yeah,
money.
I'll give you $55 for your account of 182,000 purely engaged followers.
Dude, I was gonna give you $50 tops. So that you should take that deal.
Some days I consider taking that deal because, unlike you, I've been fully engaged on social media. And it has been a detriment some days, but yeah, it's been crazy to have like growth that quick without really
without
trying.
Any kind of plan.
Yeah, yeah. Like I, you know, from your perspective, like you're putting a lot of effort into trying to grow your audience.
Right. Because part of my whole strategy is like, okay, I know where we're at. I know where we're trying to get to, and I know what we're going to do when we get there.
Yeah.
And you were just like, yeah, I just want to make this thing because it's funny to mess with my friends.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, I accidentally started this national conversation that
right.
people are listening to.
Yeah. It's, did you ask a question? You cut out. Sorry.
No. I was saying you accidentally started a national conversation.
My freaking internet is good
here. Dude, I'm proud of you for using Frick.
For using what?
For using Frick.
Hello?
Instead of, yeah. I'm proud of you for using Frick because that's oh. like a, that's a lot of self-control you're showing over there.
Yeah, I used to be in the Marines in a past life, and I had to really work on my self-control after getting out.
Yeah.
It's, you know, in that culture, it's, cussing is kind of like every other word.
Yeah, dude. I was a Boy Scout, and I get it. Dude, your face was so worth that joke. That was so worth it. Because like, you looked at me like you looked to see if I was serious.
Oh, you never can tell. I mean, you're a comedian, so I can't take anything you say seriously.
Please don't. Oh my gosh.
So, yeah, does that? I hope. I don't want to humble brag. Like, I know it's, you're working so hard to grow a deal and then you're talking to somebody that literally it blew up overnight.
Nah, dude, that's awesome for
okay.
you.
Okay. I appreciate it. Well, I've made $0 to my name, which is great. Which is fine, but it's also, I've had a lot of good opportunities to meet interesting people and talk to news agencies and stuff, which is cool.
And you gave a fake name on some of these interviews.
Yeah, all of them pretty much. And it's the most white, terrible name ever.
I know.
Like,
I
the so first great. Interview I did.
You were like, yeah, Tyler.
Tyler Jones.
Your name? Yeah. What? So what's your name? What can we quote you on? Just put Tanner, please. Can you put?
Do you have a? Yeah. It's just. It's gonna be Chris or Steven or Philip. Yeah, go with Philip. But yeah, the first interview. The first interview I did, I said this was like 2 or 3 weeks in, and I had no idea what was happening or how to handle any of it. So I was like, I'm going to stay anonymous for the time being. And so she was like, all right, I'll just make up a name for you. And then she posted the article and it was Tyler Jones. And I said, well, okay. It's like the least endearing name ever. So,
yeah.
So we're here now and I just stuck with it, which I had so many opportunities to like roast my friends by giving them their name, but yeah, I didn't. I really failed the opportunity. Number. Yeah. I really failed an opportunity there. But me and you started talking because we both have somewhat comedic posts and I hope you could see some of the humor and the things that I was doing.
Dude, I think I posted something maybe like a week after you created this account. Cause it came to my attention when you had, maybe not a week. It came to my attention when you had like 25,000 followers.
Say that
did
again.
Did you see my post? Well, when you had like 25,000 followers, I posted something about it. Did you see my post about it?
I don't think so. Or maybe I did, but it's all dumped out of my head.
I made a big deal in December, like around Christmas time, about these. My favorite shoes are these Walmart shoes that I wear.
Uh-huh.
Like they're the most comfortable shoes I've ever found in my life.
Are they Velcros?
No, dude, they've got that like elastic band though around the ankle.
Okay.
Dude,
they're like swimming shoes.
No, they're breathable. Dude, they're labeled as running shoes. I don't know. They were $18.
Oh my gosh.
And they were on clearance for $11.
Dang.
So
gotta have coupes, baby.
They stopped selling them at Walmart. So I made a big deal on social media where I messaged I put out to my followers. I was like, hey, can you go to your local Walmart and find these shoes for me? And so a bunch of my followers did, and I ended up with like 4 pairs of these shoes.
Nice.
Because my followers bought me these shoes. And so whenever your account came up, I posted a picture of me in my $11 shoes next to the Walmart screen grab. And I was like, what if I told you these were a gift? And so so that was my first like interaction with your page. And I was like, this is pretty funny.
Oh, thanks. That's great affirmation for me, coming from an actual comedian. Hey, yo, what up? This episode of the Preachers and Seekers podcast is brought to you by Rejuvenator Shoe Care. If you're like me and only have a few pairs of kicks, you got to be keeping those fresh at all times. My favorite pair of sneaks are my triple wide Ultra Boost, and they're an absolute dirt magnet. But Rejuvenator provides everything I could possibly need to keep those kicks mega clean and at a reasonable price. All my listeners can get 10% off their whole order by using the code PREACHERS at checkout. So check them out at Rejuvenator.com and be sure to use the code PREACHERS for 10% off. A lot of people take it way too seriously, which is unfortunate. But what are your – I know you probably have some serious and some humorous thoughts about it, but tell me what your thoughts are on the discussion about celebrity pastors and also this what to do with all of the overpriced kicks.
Yeah. Humorous thoughts are more of like, dude, who – like pastors or not, who? Like, I don't care. Like, we could sit here and go, oh, preachers and sneakers. But who, like, why are sneakers this expensive? Like, why? Like, there's a whole culture around it, which apparently you know about. You're involved in.
Yeah.
But, like, I literally did not know it was, like, a thing until your account.
Mm-hmm.
Because apparently, like, obviously, again, I will reiterate that I am an old Navy boy.
Tried and true.
Right.
These colors don't
and
run.
So, no, they do not. That's why I'm overweight. And so, I mean, for real, though, like, I'm sitting here looking at some of these prices and I go, okay, like, pastor or not, who is paying this amount for this shoe? Like, who's doing this? So, that was a shock to me, mm-hmm. just in general. And I had never, you know, I have like kind of poked fun with amongst my friends about the way that pastors dress.
Yeah.
You know, cause it, I mean, it does look like they just got someone grabbed them by their feet and swung them around Forever 21 and then was like, there you go. It almost looked like, Yeah, like an like what I would dress my emoji like if I was making fun of myself. So, like, that's the kind of stuff where we've always made fun of them for that. Especially, like, dude, I love Judah Smith. Like, I'm a huge Judah Smith fan.
Yeah.
And I
Seems
love
like a classy
books,
guy.
Think, you know, and I think that Jesus Is gave me a lot of language that I didn't have before to, like, kind of make the gospel more simple for my life. I definitely overcomplicated it. So, like, I'm a huge Judah fan, but I definitely made fun of that guy's glasses for a long time. And so
it's an epidemic,
you know, right. But I didn't realize, I literally had never looked up how much some of these clothes cost. Yeah. So to me, it was like, oh yeah, you know, fashion, whatever. I get it. But also I'm sitting here going like, okay, what? Oof, really? That's, oh, you know, I was shocked by that, not just because pastors were wearing it, because I'm going, people wear this? Like, dude, if I had pants that cost, like, dude, I've been in weddings, right? And you have to, like, buy the whole suit and do the whole thing. And there's some weddings where I've had to buy clothes that cost, like, you know, $400 for the pants and the jacket. And I keep those in a plastic bag in my closet because I want to make sure nothing happens to them because they're $400.
Yeah.
You know? And that, to me, I was like, those are my fancy clothes. You know? I'm going to wear, like, hopefully if I still fit in them, I'm going to wear them at my first child's baptism, you know?
Yeah. I have seven different gray suits from all those different weddings, none of which I can fit in. Each one was a different stage of my life. And so I have a closet full of stupid suits that I can't fit in. They make me feel terrible about myself.
They're just taunting you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, yeah, you used to be this small.
But like those expensive clothes, to me, those are expensive. And I'm like, okay, I would never wear those pants out in public. No way. But to see that that's how much some of these fashion pieces cost doesn't just shock me because pastors are wearing it. It just shocks me because, well, whoa, people are, I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
You know,
it's insane. So from that perspective, just the prices, like isolated themselves, are insane.
Sure. Absolutely. Yeah.
Whether it be retail or resale, people that are paying, it's just the number, the commas that are associated with some of these clothes is beyond me. I don't
get it, especially, you know, cause I am doing those 40% off deals at Kohl's. I'll make it rain Kohl's cash.
Shouts out to Kohl's.
So like I'm, you know, that's just not my world. Yeah. So your account introduced me to that world. And that was where I started researching it kind of a little bit, but yeah, so for me, the initial shock wasn't even, oh, pastors are doing this? The initial shock was anybody is doing that.
Right, yeah.
And so, you know, I think that there does like a thing with brands and materialism that's pretty rampant in our culture right now. Mm-hmm. And even like cars. Like, dude, I drive a Honda Civic, you know? And I think that, again, even if someone gave me $1 million tomorrow, like I'm not getting a fancy car. Now, okay, hold on. I probably would buy a Tesla, but that's for different reasons.
Mm.
That's because it's got features that my Honda Civic doesn't, you know? And so,
because it drives itself.
Yeah, that's like that's an investment on my own energy and time.
Yes, exactly.
you know, so I, you know, and again, that's something that I'm sitting here saying, you know, if I had that money, you know, which I don't, so I can't speak for what I would do.
Right.
Which I think is a really big temptation as we get into the conversation, is it's a really big temptation to go, well, if I had those resources, then I would do this. But you don't. So you're not making that decision.
Right. Yeah. And that's the tough part about making any kind of commentary on how other people are spending their money.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's an incredibly slippery slope, as I've learned.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. For sure.
So what do you think?
And
so like you
appreciated,
go ahead,
that even your account, you haven't really, from what I've seen anyway, the posts I've seen, the comments aren't, or your captions aren't meant to like drag the pastor. Like you're not sitting here going like, this is ridiculous that this person's doing it. You're honestly, I really enjoy it. I think it's a funny thing of comedy because it really is just kind of pointing at something.
Yeah. And it's tough because I am doing that on purpose, but right. the comments are assigned to me as my account. And so, and the people's perception right. of the account. So like some of the news media will be like, so-and-so created this account to call out pastors and shame pastors right. for what they're wearing. And it's really not what I ever intended to do. But now I'm in
and
this
it's
place.
It's still not your intention.
It's really not.
Into it.
Yeah, but people yeah. are assigning their own morals to it. So having sure. to battle that and like struggling with it, because obviously I don't want to be associated with the negative part, but I'm very well aware that people are using this as yeah. fodder for something. So it's been a very complex deal to deal with. And what I will say in sure. full transparency is like whenever I was just making that account for my friends, it was like, this seems ridiculous. Why would anyone ever wear $2,000 shoes preaching? Yeah. But very quickly, I realized there was a lot more complexities to it and, you know, yeah. changed the captions and stuff. Like some of the captions I did probably
were a little more snarky.
Yeah, didn't have the best heart behind them, but I repented of that and changed all of them and have since changed directions. But nobody cares about that. People want to find a way to make me into a snarky person calling out pastors and, you know. Which is fine.
Yeah, they always want to do that.
Yeah, for sure. So, like, do you have any thoughts about if there's, like, what do we do, from your perspective, what do we do with this? Like, is it not worth talking about at all? Or is it something that pastors should be aware about? Or is it, should we not be holding their purchasing decisions in any other regard other than another believer? Like, what do you think?
So it's very obvious that people outside of the church are perceiving that the church itself, the big C church, is irresponsible with money. And they're perceiving that because there are televangelists who are manipulating people for their money. There are these churches that are taking in big offerings and spending a huge portion of that on their own facilities. There are pastors of even smaller churches who are making six-figure salaries, and the offering is not anywhere near a level that could support that kind of percentage. So, and I think I have a unique perspective because I do have a podcast called They Don't Bite. Have you listened to that before?
I listened to one, that one and the other one that you do.
Yeah, I've got a funny podcast, which is very lighthearted. It's with my best friend. It's called Things I Learned Last Night.
Yes, incredibly funny.
Thank you. Yeah. So that one, I compare it a lot to Drunk History.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like, my best friend is teaching us something that, you know, from the internet. Like we have a video, or we have an episode about Blockbuster Video. We have one about Bob Ross. And it's just me and him goofing around. It's very fun.
Yeah.
But the one that I've enjoyed a lot, like Tillin is one of my favorite podcasts. I really, really love that a lot. The thing I've enjoyed probably most about my life in the past year has been my other podcast called They Don't Bite, where I interview my non-believing friends about their experience with Christians. And so the perspective I'm getting, and a lot of my friends have shared that specific belief, is that they go, okay, so this organization exists to feed the poor and to, like, you're giving your money to an organization that's supposed to help the community, but all I'm seeing is a big, massive cross out front of this immaculate building that's very well landscaped. And if you want me to look at their online service, like, they've got stage production that's tens of thousands of dollars. And it's like the perspective, the optics there is that from their perspective, the church isn't making the difference in the community that they're promising, you know? And so we can't, at least in my area, I live in Missouri. I live in Kansas City. I grew up down in Springfield, which is, you know, Bible Belt. And the perspective is that these churches are wanting you to give so they can line their own pockets.
Right.
And whether that's true or not, that is a pretty overwhelming majority of my friends that don't go to church. That is their perspective. That is their thought. And so I think even unintentionally, the the sneaker conversation fuels that.
Hmm.
You know, where they look at that and they go, well, yeah, I knew those pastors were taking too much money. I knew those pastors were spending their money irresponsibly. And what's unfortunate is that there are definitely people who are struggling to make rent, struggling to just make the next bill, that are having their car taken away, that are then going to a church or watching an online service and just desperate for any kind of hope. And then they're seeing the person who is saying, hey, give your money because we're making a difference. Give your money because we're changing lives. Give your money because we're doing this. And they're seeing that person at the same time wearing shoes that is worth 10 months of their rent.
Yeah.
So whether that's the intention of the person on the platform or not, I think we have to become more aware of what is being perceived. And not that we should live for the expectations of other people,
right,
but to just deny that and go, yeah, my decisions are my decisions, I don't care what it looks like, I feel like it's irresponsible.
Yeah.
You know, anybody can live for their own desires. Anybody can live and spend their money however they want. But I feel like we are called as Christians to live intentionally. And part of that is, if this is a growing problem, one, it needs to be addressed. The people in my community need to know that the money that's coming into our church is going out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because if a church is bringing in money and they're just holding on to it, then they become this bank. You know, they're putting fountains out front and immaculate sculptures and a big mural of their pastor on the wall. They're just this thing that's spending money on itself. And that's not good for the community. That's not good for the heart of what they're trying to do. If a church is bringing in money, but they're spending more than they're bringing in, then they become a burden.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So they're constantly telling the congregation, like, we need this, like, we need you to step up, like, we need you to give this because we've overpromised and we're not being responsible with these finances. But when the money is coming in and going out to staff salaries in a responsible way and to the community, then that group is able to become a blessing to other people. And so that's a message that my pastor gave last year before this conversation even started, that I just thought it's resonated with me. You know, if I am looking at my finances as a blessing from God, and then whenever I get it and I just hoard it or I spend it selfishly on myself, then I'm not in a position to be a blessing to anybody around me.
Yeah.
And I think that we just need to be more aware of that.
Yeah.
And maybe the church needs to be more transparent with what they're doing. Of like, I don't need to know the specifics of how much my pastor makes, but I would like to know the specifics of what the church's money is doing in the community.
Yeah.
I would love to know how much we're giving to the school. I would love to know how much the event that we pulled off that helped single moms, how much that cost.
Yeah. Do you find, though, that it's, I guess the response that some of these guys have said is basically like, look, you don't know how much money I've given or we've given away. I've given away millions of dollars a year. Do you think that? Like, what do you think about that? Like, so if they have $1,000 pair of shoes, but they gave away $15 million last year. I mean, that's a very extreme example, but I'm pretty confident sure. That some of these pastors are constantly giving money away, but they're still pretty cool with wearing $900 shoes. What do you think about that?
So I think that the overall outrage is that there's this misunderstanding that maybe these outfits or these shoes are coming from the offering, like mm-hmm. coming from the money of the church, the salary that pastor is being paid. What's actually happening, and this is a much deeper issue and maybe not a problem, maybe it is, I don't know, is that there's a circle of pastors who, whenever one of them writes a book, they all promote that book. And then another one writes a book and they all promote that. And there's this little society happening where they all just push each other's stuff. And then those book sales, and the books are good. Like, just like I said earlier, like I my life was enhanced because of Judah Smith's writing.
Yeah.
So they're making a bunch of money from a book advance or from some of these royalties. And then on top of that, like speaking engagements, you know, if you're speaking to a crowd of 3,000 people, like I hope that you'd be compensated for that.
Yeah.
You know, the same way, like especially as a person who is a speaker, who I do events and we have a rate that if you had told me what I'm being paid for an event now, 5 years ago, I'd have been like, okay, you know, but now like. And I'm not saying I get paid a ton. That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm just saying that, like, it is not $50 anymore.
Right.
You know? And so so I have a perspective of being a part of these big events that does take quite a bit of energy and time to pull off. I do think they deserve to be compensated for that. I think that the pastor's contribution to the community – That's the tough part of the conversation. Let's say that pastor, and this is obviously no real example, but let's say he made $10,000 this month, right? And he gave 8,000 of it away, right? So he gave 80% of it away. Then are we still going to complain about the other 2,000 that he has? You know, so I think that. To be a little more direct with it, there's a few issues that I think some people are assuming is happening, and in some cases probably are happening, but aren't happening all the time. So to walk through them, one, there's people who think that these guys are using church funds to buy shoes, right? So let's walk through that scenario. One, when you give your money to a church, it's no longer your responsibility. It is no longer your responsibility to steward that money well. Because if I make $10 and I give my tithe to the church, then my responsibility has already been taken care of.
Right.
With my relationship with God and my, you know, my responsibility to that $10 has been taken care of. So now that money is in the church's hands and it is their responsibility to steward that well. And if they don't, then the consequences aren't mine, it's theirs. Right?
Yep.
So let's say they are using the church money, and you find that out. And I think it's just kind of up to you to go, do I think that we should be allocating the funds of this group of people to honor our pastor in that specific way? And if not, then maybe you find a different church.
Right.
You know? But that's also assuming that that's happening, and maybe that's not the case at all. Again, that's what I'm saying. I think the church should be a little more transparent with where those monies are going. And so that's what I enjoyed about when I was on staff at a church. We had a finance meeting where I got to look at the actual numbers, and I was like, okay, I see what's happening here. So that's one assumption that's happening. The other thing that could be happening is if these brands are giving free clothes to these pastors, because they know that these pastors are going to be seen by 20,000 people that weekend, right? Yeah. The problem I have with that is that it then turns the platform into a commercial.
Yeah.
And I don't think that that's appropriate, just personally. Like, personally, mm-hmm. if a brand, even if Old Navy, who I love, even if they were like, hey, you know, we want to give you these clothes to use on stage, and we're hoping that boosts our sales, I would be like, well, that kind of changes the purpose of what I'm doing on stage. And I would just
right.
happily pay for these clothes because that's a personal conviction of mine. So that feels kind of slimy to me. I like just me personally, like mm-hmm. I wouldn't like that. And I think that in some cases that may be what's happening, but that's also another assumption, you know?
Yeah.
But the other thing, so we've got, you know, you're giving your money to the church. Now it's the church's responsibility. We've got, are these brands using the church platform as an advertisement? And then the other thing, I'm swatting a fly. the other thing that I'm considering in this conversation is like, so are we suggesting that we cap pastor salaries?
You know,
like, what is an acceptable amount for that profession to make? And why has that become there? There's an expectation for churches to be the most giving, and like you almost have to be like this poor pastor to make a difference. And I don't think
the poverty gospel
accurate. Yeah, you know, that becomes a different kind of thing of like, you know, I want this guy to be driving the crappy car. I want him to roll up and the hood be clinking and all this stuff. And, mm-hmm. You know, and then people use, there's so many scripture we can bend to make it say that too. There's so much scripture we can bend to make it say anything we want, you know? People who think that pastors should be honored and should be given like these crazy gifts and like gold necklaces and, you know, someone like all this stuff would definitely go, oh, well, look at the woman who poured oils on Jesus' feet, you know? And then other people who are like, yeah, right. And then other people would go, well, look at the, you know, pastors should be wearing, you know, just normal. They should buy an 8-pack of t-shirts from Walmart and they should be slumming it. You know, they should be giving 90% of their money away because they're just so giving. They're looking at the verse in Matthew that says the Son of Man has no place to lay his head, you know? So there's easy ways to just manipulate scripture to do those things. And so I think that it really is a question of what am I doing personally with my finances? Mm-hmm. Am I giving to my church body? Do I trust my leadership? Do I trust that they are going to steward this well? And if I don't, then that's something I need to bring up to my leadership.
Yeah.
But I do think that the conversation you've started, I hope has started conversations with those pastors on their own teams and in their own communities of, hey, like, I know that that's not what's happening. I know that you did get those shoes as a gift. I know that that is what happened. But also, I just want you to be aware of what it looks like.
Yeah. You know? I hope so, too. I hope they do. I haven't really heard from many of them in that perspective. Like, none of them really said, like, hey, you know what? Yeah, we did have a church meeting about this. I've heard from other churches where they've had meetings about that with their pastors. But
yeah,
I really do hope. I mean, if nothing else comes from this, then just that everyone is able to check their heart a little bit about why they buy things and the heart behind or the optics behind what you wear and why you're wearing things, whether it be to get clout or to get likes on Instagram or to make other people feel jealous. I hope that we're all examining that constantly. I mean, that's something that I've had to check too, like, I mean, social media in general kind of breeds that, basically. Hey, look at me. I'm doing this thing. Don't you wish you were doing what I was doing? And I've had to check some of that myself. So I hope that's encouraged those conversations.
Yeah. And I think that it has been. And I think that this podcast is actually a great avenue for these conversations to continue.
Yeah.
And for people to maybe understand the heart and intention a little better. I do think there is a responsibility on church leaders to tell the story of Jesus, not tell the story of ourselves. And I think that, you know, the times that I have wanted to dress cool and associate, I think there comes a point where it's like, okay, I think that you're wanting to be associated with affluence. Whether you could afford $5,000 shoes or not, if someone gives you $5,000 shoes and you're wearing them out in public, people think you have $5,000 shoe money.
Right.
You know, and people with $5,000 shoe money could solve a lot of people's problems if they didn't spend it on $5,000 shoes.
Yeah.
Right?
Facts.
That's the optics, you know? And so let's say that you did get it as a gift. I think you have to be cautious and aware of the unintentional hurt that you could be causing. And to silence those voices and say, I can do whatever I want is not to be like, that's not listening.
Right.
You know, that's not being humble. That's going, I've made my decision and my decision is right and you can just get over it. And it's like, okay, well, maybe this is a conversation that needs to happen.
Yeah.
And I respect that you started it unintentionally even. Yeah. But I respect that you stuck with it. And I think it's something that, you know, clearly is something that has struck a chord with a lot of people who want accountability, who want to know.
Yeah. Jaron, that's a great word, man. So, and I agree with everything that you said, and I think you articulated it really well. My wife's going to murder me if we keep talking for 3 minutes longer.
Yeah, that's okay.
So,
no worries.
Before you go, I have one question to ask you, two questions, actually. One,
sure.
Maybe you said it earlier. What's the favorite pair of sneakers that you've ever owned in your whole life?
Yeah, so it's an I think it's pronounced Avia, Avia, A-V-I-A. It's the Walmart brand.
Oh, it's those gray ones. I do know what you're talking about,
dude.
Now.
Yeah, 100%, dude. Look at my pictures. You'll see me, and you'll see me in them a lot. They are so awesome. Comfortable. Yeah, $15, man.
With an 11 with a coupon.
Yeah.
Also, last question before you go: how can people connect with you online, on social media, all that? What do you got going on?
Yeah. So I do live shows. So definitely book me to bring me to your church or to your city, or look out for when I'm coming there. All that information is on my website, jaronmyers.com, JaronMyers. At Jaron Myers on everything. Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube. We're launching a lot of new YouTube stuff this fall. So we've been creating content all summer that's going to go out this fall that I'm really excited about. And I do have podcasts. So definitely check out They Don't Bite. I think we're having some transformative conversations over there. Getting a perspective from people who didn't grow up in church and people who are outside of that inside lingo that are offering a perspective that's absolutely 100% changed my life. So check out They Don't Bite, and I'll, you know, also my email is jaron@jaronmyers.com. So if you hated anything that we talked about, or you've something I've said has struck a chord and you want to connect with me, send that to me and my assistant will get back. I'm kidding. I will.
Big time to everybody.
So yeah, dude, with my AirPods.
Yeah. Jaron, I appreciate you taking the time. I think you're incredibly hilarious.
Dude, thanks, man.
To everybody out there, make sure that you follow him on all the social medias, subscribe to him on YouTube. Subscribe to his podcast. He's out here hustling, doing it all himself. Although you have a manager now, right?
I did just sign with a team. It's very awesome. I'm really excited.
That is big time.
And so, yeah.
Jaron, again, thanks for the time. This won't be the last time we talk.
Yeah, dude.
And
I hope not.
Hope you have a good 4th of July, and let's talk soon, buddy.
You too, dude. I'll talk to you later.
All right, buddy. See ya.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Waiting on a tax return? Hopefully it ends up in your hands. Fraudulent tax returns due to identity theft increased by 30% in 2023. If you're in a bind this tax season, LifeLock can help. Our U.S.-based restoration specialists are experts dedicated to helping solve your identity theft issues. And all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package. So we'll reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. Help protect your information this tax season with LifeLock. Save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/aware.